Obviously, Judaism still sees the Torah's commandments of tithing as still binding and enforced today. But not all the commandments can be practically applied. For example, without a temple, there are no sacrifices today. Tithing sort of falls into this category. The Torah specifically stipulates that tithes are in agriculture, and most of them are only applicable within the land of Israel. Add on to that, that many of them are temple-dependent, and we find that very few of the tithing commandments can be observed in the land of Israel, much less outside of it. Practically speaking, Judaism does not spiritualize these mitzvot, nor transfer them like Christianity does. For example, Judaism does not regard the modern-day rabbi as a replacement for the priest or Levite, and therefore deserving of tithes. So very few of the biblical tithing commandments are actually literally applicable for the average person. Almost none. Yet it may surprise you that just like Christianity, Judaism does teach that setting aside a 10% tithe of all income is the normal practice and an expected spiritual discipline for all those who would call themselves Torah observant. In Hebrew, this is called Ma'aser Kesefim, tithing on money. As we pointed out a couple of times, this goes all the way back to the Second Temple period, where it had become the practice of some to tithe on all their income and not just on agriculture. We find evidence of this both in the Gospels as well as in extra-biblical literature. In fact, Judaism teaches that giving a 10% tithe on one's income has always been the norm and is just assumed by the Torah. The logic is simple. The Torah assumes that everyone sets aside 10% of their income for the Lord, just as Abraham and Jacob did. Whenever God blesses you with something, you give a tithe of it back to the Lord. The whole culture of the ancient Near East practiced some form of tithing or another. So the Torah never gives a law that says, "Thou shalt set aside 10% for the Lord." Instead, it only gives laws explaining how to set aside the tithes on agriculture grown in the land of Israel. Why does agriculture in the land of Israel need special laws? Because the land does not belong to the Israelites. It belongs to God. The people of Israel were more like sharecroppers on the land. That's why special laws of tithing applied to agriculture in the land of Israel. If you weren't a farmer, though, you could just assume a flat tithe of 10%. For example, if you were a potter and you made pots and sold them, you would simply tithe 10% of the profit you made as a potter, giving it to the Levites, the priesthood, the temple, or perhaps even the poor and needy, perhaps using some of it to purchase animals to sacrifice at festivals, as it says in the Torah in Deuteronomy 16:6. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So the 10% tithe is the baseline. Higher minimums apply to agriculture practiced on the soil of God's holy land. We noted that in early Midrash on Deuteronomy 14:22, you shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year. The Midrash interpreted the all here as redundant and therefore must mean that we are required to give a tenth on all forms of income. There are others who teach that the tithe of a flat 10% on your income is not based on agricultural tithing commandments, but rather it is a minimum amount to be set aside to give to the poor. This would be considered a fulfillment of verses like Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 8, which reads, "If among you one of your brothers should become poor, in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his needs, whatever it may be." There is even a statement in the Jerusalem Talmud to back this up that states, "At Usha, a decision was reached that a man should separate 1/5 of his belongings for a mitzvah, that is, charity." By separating a tithe, it was certain that you would be fulfilling the mitzvah of charity and have money to give whenever the need arose. Obviously, 1/5 is more than 10%. 1/5 is 20%. The general rule in Judaism today is that one set aside at least a tenth of one's income for charity, but the rabbis set a maximum at 20%, lest one give away too much and become dependent on charity himself. As with most things in halakha, there are debates as to the specifics and levels of obligation, but 10% is the general practice. However, in Judaism, the tithe does not go only to the local synagogue. Unlike general Christian practice, there is not an opinion that this should all be given to one's home congregation. Instead, the tithe is spent primarily on charity for the poor. According to some opinions, it can also be used under certain circumstances for purchasing Torah books for community use, paying for certain essential ceremonial expenses, and other things as the need arises. For the most part, though, it is intended for the poor. There are also special halakhic rulings to aid those who simply cannot afford to give 10%. The Chofetz Chaim, a prominent rabbi in Jewish thought, teaches that the tithe can go to support needy members of one's extended family or the poor of the local community. When there are no immediate needs like this, the tithe should go to those who dedicate their time to learning and teaching Torah. The original purpose of tithing to the priesthood and Levites reflects this idea. Those whose time is devoted to serving Hashem sincerely are the rightful recipients of one's tithe, and God promises to bless those who support His servants. Nonetheless, the poor still take precedence. At First Roots of Zion, we believe that all of God's Torah is perpetual and that, as our Master says, not one jot or tittle will ever pass away until all is accomplished. It goes without saying, then, that the laws of tithing, as we outlined in the first teaching, are still applicable in as much as they can be observed without a temple. That is to say, if the temple was rebuilt and the priesthood reinstated, all of the Bible's laws of tithing would immediately go back into full effect for all farmers in the land of Israel. But what about the principle of tithing 10% of our incomes? So we ask the question again, as believers in Messiah, are we obligated to tithe today? My answer would still be yes and no. While I would hesitate to put tithing on the table on the same level as of a biblical commandment and strict obligation, I think there is ample evidence from the Bible, history, and both Jewish and Christian tradition that this is a biblical principle. We should be giving at least 10% of our income to the kingdom, sharing it with those who are in need and with those who teach us the Word of God. Judaism and Christianity rarely agree on anything, but they unanimously regard giving 10% of one's income to the Lord's work as a serious obligation for godly living. We would be fools to ignore that, especially in today's world. Just to get a historical perspective, remember that those of us who live in first world nations like the U.S. today are the most obscenely wealthy people with the highest standard of living in all of human history. If previous generations who lived by comparison to us, in poverty and squalor, faithfully gave 10%, then who are we to say that we are exempt from this simple minimum? For biblical support, we need to look no further than the two stories of Abraham and Jacob about tithing that we have already examined. In both cases, they are offering up a tithe as an offering of praise and thanks to Hashem for their circumstances. Abraham for the victory he has just won in battle, and for Jacob, the future fulfillment of the promises that God had made to him. In both cases, the principle that is established was not just giving something, but giving a tenth.